Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
May the grace and peace of God be with you. As we make our Advent pilgrimage, looking forward to the celebration of the birth of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let us in prayer and praise, thanksgiving and song, give voice to the hope set forth in the scriptures that Christ's reign of love and light will indeed come among us. Let us offer ourselves anew as witnesses to the advent of Christ's glory, seeking to bring Christ's light and love to those who sit in darkness. Come, O long-expected Jesus. Blessed be the one holy and living God.
Glory to God forever and ever.
Your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Judeans sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing, if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire. Amen. At about this point in the Advent season every year, something will happen that catches me unaware. A visitor will pause on the way out of church after the service and will say something like this: It's 10 days before Christmas and we didn't sing a single Christmas carol. Is there a reason you aren't doing Christmas here?" Now, that's an understandable sentiment considering what's happening every place else in a season like this. You stand in line at Starbucks and you hear a jazzed up version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or somebody crooning, "Oh Holy Night." Or you see advertisements for every school and church putting on its holiday or Christmas concert. Even here in this cathedral, we're hosting for the Cathedral Choral Society the Joy of Christmas performances, one after another this weekend. Of course, Christmas ought to be everywhere around us. There is a hurry that you sense, though, in wanting to get on with Christmas itself. Let's skip this other stuff. Let's do Christmas. I remember the children in my household some years ago asking all through December daily, "How many days now until Christmas?" But for that matter, in our culture, we want just about everything right now. Christmas is only an intense form of the disease of nowism. We want our good times now. We want our problems solved now. Credit cards long ago replaced layaway plans so that people could have things now, even when they can't afford them. We have our email and our cell phones and our text messaging to ensure that there's instantaneous now connection. We don't want to wait for anything. We're an impatient people. When I pick up something at CVS, I study carefully the checkout lines. I do a careful analysis trying to find the one that will certainly be the shortest one. And consistently, I find that I've chosen the one with someone who decides to write a check that calls for a manager authorization, or someone who has chosen this moment to bring all their coins saved up for the last month to pay for things, Or perhaps someone who has decided to keep a conversation going with a checkout clerk as she tries to change the white roll tape that seems to happen every time I go in. And for 3 or 4 minutes standing there, I feel that I have been totally, irrevocably wasting my time. Impatience. If your mind is ever blanked for a second or two after a stoplight has turned green, you've experienced a chorus of horns blasting you, saying, get on with it. Impatience. And speaking of impatience, every Advent season we have to deal for a couple of Sundays with John the Baptist, and that's right, not sing the Christmas hymns. And I know it's frustrating. We're all ready for the main attraction, aren't we? We're all ready for Bethlehem to happen right now, but instead, for 2 Sundays, we have to wait. Who are you, the people in the gospel story said to John the Baptist. I'm not the Messiah, he says. Well, what then? Are you Elijah? Nope, not that either. Well, who are you? And John says that the one who's coming after is so much greater that John would be unworthy even to untie his shoelaces. But that's all he says. He doesn't seem to know the details. He only knows that God is going to do something and some light is going to come into the darkness, but he doesn't seem to know what it is at all. He's just saying, be ready, be patient. Something's coming. But patience is hard. Most of us have been taught to be achievers, doers, accomplishers. We make our lists. We tick things off. We have business plans and personal goals and high expectations. At the end of the year, we want to be able to look back and tick off our accomplishments. We press on impatiently. And all of that makes it hard to deal with parts of our lives that aren't working according to plan. Someone has a serious car accident and all of a sudden goes from being independent and charging along and in control to being dependent, being done to, needing people to look after them. Or you watch a parent who has been aging and aging year after year into deeper phases of dependency, no longer able to accomplish or achieve in any obvious way. And of course, these troubled economic times have created a widespread sense of worry and powerlessness. We can't stop what these problems are doing to our bank accounts, our home mortgages, our jobs, our schools and churches and nonprofits. We want to know, how long is this going to go on? 6 months, 12 months, 24 months? I caught an interview on the news the other evening with a woman waiting in an unemployment counseling center, having recently been laid off and seeing her bills piling up. I'll do anything, she said, mop floors, file papers, work outdoors. My big question, though, is when will it end? Just about everyone in every business or nonprofit is asking that. We feel impatient to move on, but it looks as if we will have to learn the discipline of patience. It is hard to deal with the fact that we can't control our world and our lives. Impatience arises from the fantasy that I can be in charge, that I can be the ruler of my own little universe, that everything that is broken should be fixable, any illness should be curable promptly, and any economic problem ought to be resolved in a quick and convenient manner. But the intractable things hit, things that aren't easily fixed and don't go away. And we discover that we are part of a world that doesn't always respond to our wants and needs. Patience arises out of the awareness that this big, complex, unmanageable world is also God's world, and that God is working in it, even if it may not be on our schedule. And patience comes too with an awareness that hard times and limits have lessons to teach us, and that the times of dependence in our lives are not times of failure, but times that bring a different kind of dignity and value to those going through them. My bet is that most of us, when we think about the ministry of Jesus, have some pretty clear images of this activist, going, hard-moving Savior who is teaching and preaching and healing everywhere he goes. But we Christians believe that the whole story of Christ's life tells us all about who God is. And just think for a moment about the Christmas story. Mary and Joseph did not develop a business plan for having a Savior born to them. It was not on their list of goals for the year. Instead, this young couple made their way haltingly through that backwater part of the Roman Empire where they lived, onto the place where it was Joseph's home to pay the taxes, all of that not knowing what was going on, except they had been given a call, a mission, something they needed to do. They had no idea where this was leading, but they were patient and attentive. They trusted that God was doing something they could not make sense of in the middle of the lives they were living. Disappointment, suffering, bad economies, lost jobs, all these are part of our lives and our world. We all will have and have had times of dependence, of being patience, of being on the receiving end of life. But those are times of dignity as well. To be a Christian is to believe that our lives are finally not our own, and that the worth of our life is not measured by our resume. It's to believe that suffering and disappointment come as opportunities to grow and to love and to receive love, and that God is working through all of those events to deepen our lives and the lives of those around us. I remember a wise consultant who worked with my staff some years ago saying that she was never very good at telling time. She said she had learned that things have their own pace, their own timing. People do, and groups do, and institutions do. We could even say economies do. Things are taking shape in their own way. Things have their own rhythm. And often she said, I can't tell whether this is the beginning of something that needs to emerge, or whether it's late in something and it's time for it to end. But I know I need to get a feel for the timing. That's patience. The work of parents is like that. It's so easy to get impatient, to take matters into our own hands, to try to work everything out for ourselves. But often children need our patience, our standing back and giving them room to work things out for themselves. That's the work of leaders, of teachers, of doctors and therapists, all of us, to be able to make room for things to emerge in their own way. And our larger public life calls for patience. I remember several years ago when former President Carter had been sent to negotiate with North Korea, particularly in light of the possibility of nuclear weapons. Former UN Ambassador Andrew Young told an interviewer, "This is the sort of situation which you can afford to talk to death. We ought to be willing to take all the time in the world with this one. We must be patient." Our leaders need that kind of patience. It has to be said, though, that sometimes, of course, we need to be impatient. Impatient when we see injustices that need to be righted. Any of you who were here to hear Tavis Smiley a few moments ago talked about the Obama moment for both the African American community and for our whole country. a moment when the needs and struggles of the black community especially must be addressed, addressing the enormous gaps in income and quality of education and housing and health. It is crucial at times for things to be at the top of the agenda, to be burning and urgent. There are times when we have to act. But even that impatience is meant to flow out of a patient discernment of God's timing. And even that commitment to impatience will require a patient persistence over the long haul. I think often of some remarkable words spoken by Archbishop Oscar Romero, the archbishop in San Salvador who worked so hard for justice there until he was murdered, when he knew they would never achieve everything that needed to be done, and he counseled a kind of patience in the struggle for change when he said this: "We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. We plant seeds that will one day grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need future development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our capability. We cannot do everything. And there's a sense of liberation when we never see the end results. But there's the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders. Impatience is necessary, but patience is critical. Be patient. That's the call of this Advent season. That's hard for all of us who can't wait to tear into our Christmas presents and can't wait to check everything off our to-do list and can't wait to get out of this tough economy. But Advent says, live with the incompleteness. Live with the emptiness inside. And listen for what God is saying to us in this time, the ways God is teaching us to depend more on God and more on each other. I'll close with some words of wise counsel from the poet Rainer Marie Rilke. He wrote these to a young poet who was struggling to try to make sense of his life and wanted nice, clear answers. He said this: "I would like to beg you, dear sir, as well as I can, to have patience with everything unresolved in your heart and to try to love the questions themselves as if they were locked rooms or books written in a very foreign language. Don't search for the answers, which could not be given to you now because you would not be able to live with them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps then, someday, far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer." There's a great deal unresolved in our hearts these days, with a shaky world shifting almost by the moment. But we can be patient. God is at work even when we cannot understand how, even when the questions we ask cannot get clear answers. We are called to live the question of what God is calling us to be and do in this time, and to discover the gift of dependence. This is a time to let our blood pressure drop a little bit, catch our breath, settle in and be open for what God is doing. For Christ is coming in this season, but also in the months and years ahead.
Thank you.
Let us affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory, living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
O God of Isaiah and John the Baptist, through all such faithful ones, you proclaim the unfolding of joy and renewed life. We too testify to the light as we pray for the church, our community, and the world, saying, Come, Holy Jesus.
Help us manifest your light in the world.
We pray for your church throughout the world, for all bishops, priests, deacons, and the priesthood of all believers, that we would make straight your path. Come, Holy Jesus.
Help us manifest your light in the world.
We pray for the people and leaders of all nations, for George, our president, and for Barack, our president-elect. Inspire them to govern with equity and justice. Come, Holy Jesus.
Help us manifest your light in the world.
We pray for the people of the state of Montana, for the National Cathedral Association of Montana, vast in sky, rich in agriculture, majestic in mountain. God's splendor is abundant. May her people show forth God's glory in all they do. Come, Holy Jesus. We pray for all those in the war-torn areas of our world, especially in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Darfur, that your peace would prevail. Come, Holy Jesus. We pray for all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and for those who are burdened by financial insecurity. May they be consoled and healed in their distress. Come, Holy Jesus. We pray for all who have died and all who mourn. Grant them peace at the last as they are welcomed into your heavenly realm. Come, Holy Jesus.
Merciful God of peace, your word spoken by the prophets restores your people's life and hope. Fill our hearts with the joy of your saving grace, that we may hold fast to your great goodness, and in our lives proclaim your justice in all the world. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God. God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated. Once again, we're delighted to have all of you with us today. And I'd like to extend a special welcome to people from the state of Montana. Once a month, we have a state day when we celebrate one of the particular states, and we pray for that state and its people, as we just did this morning. So a hearty and warm welcome to those who have come to us from what I gather is the Grizzly State, something like that. It's great to have you with us. We'd love for our friendly Montanans and all of you to linger for some coffee and refreshments and conversation just following the service. It takes place at the west end, the entrance into the cathedral, and over to your right. By all means, please stop by. And keep your eye out for people wearing purple buttons. They are members of the cathedral congregation, and they will be happy to tell you more about the life and ministry of the cathedral here. Several things I'd like to point out. One is that next Sunday, we have a particularly, maybe historic, Sunday forum, because we are going to have as our guest someone named Ebenezer Scrooge. That's right. Straight out of A Christmas Carol, the actor who is playing Ebenezer Scrooge at the Forge Theater will be our guest to talk about A Christmas Carol and about a Scrooge vision of life. And we're going to have with him a Dickens scholar from Georgetown University, John Glavin, to talk together about what Dickens was saying and what is maybe the favorite Christmas story of all time. So join us for a conversation with Ebenezer Scrooge next week. Meanwhile, Christmas services are happening right and left. I would like to point especially to this coming Saturday, when at 2 o'clock in the afternoon we offer a Christmas pageant focused particularly on children. This is a wonderful event when this whole nave is filled with young people and young parents scampering around everywhere. So it's a great way for adults, too, to come and see what's happening with the childlike piece of the Christmas experience. So that's at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And Sunday afternoon at 4, we're having a Carols by Candlelight service. Basically, a very rich service of lessons, anthems, and the favorite carols of the season, in a way preparing for the Christmas celebration coming up. So that will be next Sunday at 4 o'clock. By all means, come join us for that. Otherwise, there are lots of details about the many, many Christmas services. And those of you who live in the area, we look forward to having you with us as we celebrate the holiest night and the holiest day of the church year. But now we come to the feast we gather for every week, the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the wine of God's love for all of us and everyone in Christ. Anyone who feels drawn to take a deeper step in their life in Christ and to be fed by that love is welcome to come and receive communion. There will be ushers to show you how to receive. Feel free to come forward and cross your arms across your chest if you'd rather not receive but would like to receive a blessing. Also, if there are people who would like particular prayers for healing, please feel free, once you've received communion, to go to the high altar by walking up one of the side aisles on either side, and there will be people there to pray with you. And we begin our feast, as we always do, by giving back to God some portion of the bounty that has come our way. This is an important time to be generous, both for the ministry of this cathedral in this city, but for spreading Christ's love in all sorts of ways across the country at a very challenging moment. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Let us with gladness present the offerings of our life and labor to the Lord.
Amen.
hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, O God, creator of heaven and earth. Because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death, and to make us heirs in him of everlasting life, that when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O God, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Peter, St. Paul, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
And he answered.
Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, and renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. May Christ, whose second coming in power and great glory we await, make you steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and constant in love. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
To love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.